When you were in the quartermaster section and, you know, people would come off the front?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What would they talk?
Oh, yes. They would talk like, these were guys would get the stories from the, what do you call, like, I remember we went through St. Mary Glees, but we went through quartermaster, we went through there with the guys we were attached to, we went through there about maybe after 20 days or 18 days or something like that, we went to St. Mary Glees, but the paratroopers landed there 8 hours, that's before D-Day they went in, the paratroopers, it could have been the 82nd or the 101st, I remember that they dropped in St. Mary Glees. We used to hear stories about those guys, as they're coming down, the Germans were strafing them. They were strafing them as they were coming down. They had them like sitting ducks. A lot of them got killed as they were coming down. And there, a lot of them, we heard about it, a lot of them drowned. The Germans opened up the reservoirs or something like that. And where they were dropping, they drowned because they had a full field pack. And they were drowned in water 4 or 5 feet deep. A lot of paratroopers they found the next day bloated up from drowning. Oh yes, 82nd or 81st, whoever landed at St. Mary's, please. I'll never forget that. I heard those stories about that. And then we used to hear stories of how the Germans with their machine, their artillery gun called the 88. The 88 was so damn accurate, they used to pick up an American soldier walking maybe 2 or 3 miles. They could pick him up by himself. That's how accurate their guns were. We used to hear this every day. We knew that their burp guns were sensational. Their machine guns, ours would get hot. We'd have to change, but the Germans would have to just change the barrel. Put a new barrel on, and start fighting again. Everything they had was more superior than us. And, you know, it's dropped across, so I'm getting away from this Tiger X7. I remember, the war's just started. We've got a long way to go. And then every now and then we'd see, like in our area, somehow, how it got there, we don't know, that there'd be maybe 300, 400, 500 German prisoners. Yeah, they were taking them away, bringing them to England. No, we want to go to America. We want to go to America because America, they'll spare us. The English will kill us.
Really?
Yeah. They were very afraid. Yes, this part. We said we were right there. And then I'll never forget on D-Day, I saw some Japanese in German uniforms when they captured the Germans along with Japanese.
Really?
The Japanese were with the Germans in German uniforms. They were Japanese. I'll never forget that. I saw that. And then along the beach on D-Day, you see all kinds of LSTs there, and then you see the barrage of balloons all over, so that the Germans can't come in with their Luftwaffe to strafe there, to keep them high above away like that. You see that there, but many planes came in. And then every night at the beach there, when we have our K-racks or something like that, during the day, you know, you walk around, and then at nighttime, if you try to walk like that, they used to drop flares. The Germans used to drop flares. They used to make our area look like Broadway. It would light up. And if it lit up, they told you, no matter how what you're doing, freeze like that because they could spot you with the planes.
Really?
Oh, yes. They used to drop the flares at different elevations. Bah, light up. You think it was power, electricity. It said, lighten up so fast, the whole area. No matter what you're doing, if you're walking, freeze right away. Well, I used to freeze. I was so scared like that until the flares burned down.